Good morning. Before I jump into the message, I want to just give you a little bit of an update. Everybody pretty much has heard about the governor's lightening the restrictions, I guess you could say, to what we've been dealing with. So, as of Friday, restrictions have been lifted. We're into phase one. There's going to be a phase two, there's going to be a phase three, but as of right now, we can start doing some different things. I met with the deacons this past week, and we have decided what we're going to do is we're going to continue doing the online worship. But what we've done is we've scheduled to use Raleighville Recreation Center June the 7th for a large drive-in service. So we're going to continue having church the way we're having it online right now, but we're going to use the next 3 weeks to plan for a large drive-in service on June the 7th at 11 a.m. Very exciting times right now. I know we all wanted to get to back together pretty quick, but there are some stipulations that are very tight, and with our sanctuary, it would kind of be hard. So we're going to use the next 3 weeks to prepare for a large drive-in service up at Raleighville Recreation Center, Sunday the 7th at 11 o'clock. Now, I'm going to do something this morning that I haven't done in a while, and you all know that I like to start off a service with a question because I like to get you thinking. I want to get your mind working. I want you to start thinking about what this message is going to be about. So here's the question. By a show of hands, how many of you like to go through trials in your life? How many of you, go ahead and just slide your hand up, if you like to deal with tough times, if you like to deal with the trials, the tribulations, the sufferings in your life, if that's something you say, Donnie, you know, I don't mind that too much, go ahead and slide your hand up. Now, I can't see your hands, but I would bet that there's not one single hand raised. Why? Well, because it's an unnatural question, right? Who in their right mind likes to go through trials? Who in their right mind wants to deal with suffering in their life? Who in their right mind wants to deal with trials and tribulations? Right? Most of us will do everything possible to avoid a situation, a trial, a tribulation, suffering. We'll do everything possible to get around so we don't have to deal with it. We don't like tough times. And in most cases, yeah, we'll do anything possible to dodge it. That's what I want to talk about this morning. That's what I want to jump into this morning, and I want to use, and we're going to take the advice that James gives us. But I've titled today's message, Growing Through Your Trials. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I don't need to tell you that we don't like suffering. We don't like trials. We don't like tribulation. We don't like when the life goes south. But what I can praise you for and I can thank you for is that you're always there. I thank you for the strength that you offer, the strength that you can give, the courage, dear Heavenly Father, the peace. I thank you so much for that because without it, I don't know where I'd be. I love you so very much and I thank you for the help that you provide. Lord, as always, I ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance in our life to be with us, with everybody, wherever everybody's at. Lord, I ask you to open our hearts, our eyes, our minds to what you want us to hear, not what I'm saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in just a few minutes, we're going to take, I'm going to read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. But first, let me tell you this. In this scripture, James, he's going to tell us the reality that even in the Christian life, right? Even in the life of believers, there are troubles, there are trials, there are tribulations, There are temptations. However, the believer doesn't have to be the victim of their own circumstances. Instead, we can have victory even in difficult times. James tells us no matter what we're going through, we can experience victory through faith in Christ. If you've got your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to James 1. Excuse me, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, we're going to start verse 2, read through 4. This is what James says. This is how James starts off his book. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know, there at the very beginning there in verse 2, James tells us some very sobering words this morning. He says this, he says, you're going to go through trials. I mean, if you take a look exactly at what his words said there in verse 2, he says, whenever you face trials, he didn't say, if you go through trials. He doesn't say, you know what, you may or you may not go through trials. He doesn't say, you know, if you work real hard, you can skirt around a trial, you can go around a trial, you can dodge a trial. No, he says, whenever you face trials. He's very blunt. I mean, James is not beating around the bush here. He tells us that troubles, trials, testing, temptation, suffering, they're not an option. They are inevitable. They will happen. You know, when I talk about trials, I talk about tribulations, I talk about suffering. Every single one of you listening or watching, your mind automatically goes to what you have dealt with in the past or the present. You thinking about what you've dealt with, that trial, that tribulation, that suffering. You're thinking about it right now. They may involve the pain of a chronic illness or untimely death. Some know the heartache of a broken marriage or a failed relationship. Trouble may come from inside the family. Might be addiction. Some struggle with problems of maybe in your business, maybe in your job. Maybe it's been a failed financial decision. There's others that are dealing with that lingering issue of depression. Some of you might be thinking about this pandemic that we're going through. Maybe that's your trial. Every single person here is thinking about something. We all have troubles in our life. Nobody is exempt. I don't care how saintly you are, or how saintly you think you are. You're not immune. Listen to what Jesus said himself in John 16:33. This is Jesus' very own words here. He says, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus said this. Now thank the Lord that he doesn't stop there. I'm going to circle back around to this verse at the end of the message. But Jesus himself said, you will have trouble in this life. I mean, we can all name trials that we're going through, have gone through, dealing with right here and now. If I asked you, I said, would you like to deal with that trial all over again? Would you like to have that suffering all over again? Would you like to deal with the trouble all over again? Every single one of us would say, no. No, Donnie, I don't. I can't deal with that. I don't even know how I would go through that again. I can't handle that. I cannot do it. Trials in our life are tough. And in the middle of our trials and life storms, we aren't very thankful. We're not a thankful person. I mean, it's hard to be thankful in times of sorrow, in times of trouble, whatever it is you're dealing with. It's hard to be thankful. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through trials. We'll do anything to avoid them. It hurts. It's unpleasant. Sometimes we feel like there's no hope. We cry. We're angry at the burden and the weight. Yeah, and sometimes we're angry at God. And then James, on top of that, James, there in the very beginning of verse 2, tells us something that really appears to be an outlandish statement. He says, consider it all joy to go through trials. What? Consider it all joy to go through trials? I mean, I just established that we all hate to go through trials. James is telling us to consider it to be all joy to go through trials? What sense does that make? I mean, think about it. How would it go over if the next time a loved one or a really good friend is suffering and you walk up to them and you say, what's going on? What's wrong? Oh, you're suffering? I'm so sorry to hear that. But you know what? You need to have joy that God is putting this trial in your life. How do you think that's going to go over? You say it and then run. That would be my advice. Listen to me. James has a way of saying things. He has a way with words. But it goes a lot deeper than that. You see, the joy that James is talking about here is not being that cheerleader. He's not talking about the rah, 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 right? Put on the fake smile and then pretend that all is good. No. The joy that James is speaking about is a deep peace that comes from knowing God and knowing that the trials, whatever they might be, will help your character. Think back to those trials that I talked about just a little while ago. Think back to the trials and think about the things that you learned from them. Maybe you can think of times when you've suffered or when things got really bad. It didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out. But now you can look back on them and you can see where you've learned. You can see how you've grown. I'll be the very first one to tell you that it is very, very hard to see God working in the middle of your trial. It's very, very hard to see God's plan when you're suffering. It's very, very hard to understand God's will in the middle of what you're dealing with. Sometimes it takes time. It takes months. Sometimes it takes years. And other times it takes decades to see where God's plan was at, to understand what God's will was, to see where God or what God was doing. We learn in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, life situations, they may not always make sense. Heck, life situations most of the time just don't make sense. But God has a plan for our lives. And faith and trust are vital. Let me say it again. Faith and trust are vital to finding that peace and find that joy which comes in the middle of suffering. So what does James mean when he urges us to consider that our trials should be nothing but joy? I mean, what sense does that make, right? Here's the thing. You can't just stop with that verse. You have to keep reading. You see what James is getting at in verse 3. James tells us that trials will produce endurance. Trials will produce perseverance. Let me back James up with another scripture. Let me compare our scripture reading this morning with something that Paul says in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. If you've got your Bibles, flip back a few books to Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5. Let me read this to you. Let us rejoice in our sufferings. Isn't that what James just said? Rejoice in our sufferings. Can't stop there. Keep going. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That's what James has in mind. That's what James is talking about. You see, in spite of our sufferings, in spite of our trials, in spite of our troubles, in spite of our tribulations, we're able to rejoice first and foremost, because we never lose sight that Jesus is with us. You heard me tell you last week, He's bigger than any issue that you're dealing with. He's bigger than anything that you're going through. He's always with you, even in the middle of whatever it is you're dealing with. Think about it. He died for you, and then He sent His Holy Spirit to be with us, to teach us, to lead us, to direct us, to comfort us, to give us strength, to give us courage, to give us His power. That's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus meant when he spoke in the book of John, that He says, "My Father is going to send you a comforter." That's what James is talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about that comforter. As believers, we are given the resources to have joy and peace through our trials because we have Christ. Amen. He's the author and giver of those inner characteristics which cannot be purchased. They are a gift from God. After we begin our life in Christ, after we become believers, we have the ability to face life with new power and ability we never even knew was possible. But the sad thing is, most believers don't even utilize it. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and most believers don't even utilize it. I mean, because we have Jesus, because we have this opportunity to experience inner peace and joy in the middle of suffering. And then Paul goes on and he gives us a great process which leads to our recovery. You see, when we suffer, we're forced to begin the process of enduring and persevering through difficult times that we go through. Now, as we move through those stages that Paul talks about, oftentimes without even realizing it, we gain new inner strength, we gain courage, we gain power and resolve that we never even knew we had. And as we continue to grow, our character begins to change. We get to experience that peace. We get to experience that joy. We're changing. And a lot of times we don't even realize that we're changing until someone else makes a comment. We're growing in a maturity in Christ. That's what James means by verse 4. It's when he explained that we grow and then we mature and we're made complete. This process improves our witness for Jesus Christ. This is the process that we as believers should always be doing. We should always be growing. I've got to witness this at our church. I've seen people suffer and endure trials in their life more than you think one person can take. And then I get to see genuine smiles and displays of joy in the middle of suffering. Listen, that only comes from God. That, my friends, is a testimony. That, my friends, is the testimony that the rest of the world needs to see. They need to see that from believers. You grow through your sufferings. You grow through your trials. But then you let the world see it. Then Paul adds, after going through that suffering, you've endured that suffering, that you persevered and your character has grown, and now you're ready for hope. Think about it. After going through this process and you finally get to see the end or the light at the end of that tunnel, you've gained hope because you start to see the future. And when you have hope, when you have hope, you'll not be disappointed, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a reminder of God's presence. What a reminder of God's love. God pouring His love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's like a cool drink of water on a hot summer day. It's refreshing. It's energizing. It gives you strength. It gives you peace. It gives you joy. It's God's generosity and graciously pouring His love into us, helping us to cope with the difficulties of life. Let me wrap up this by giving you three suggestions on how to allow this joy to be made visible. To take your joy and let the world see it in the middle of suffering, in the middle of trials, in the middle of hard times. Three suggestions. Very first one, try to see the big picture. So many times there are circumstances that we don't see because we have a small perspective. I mean, during that trial, during that suffering, during that troubles, you know, we can only see what is happening right in front of us. It's the only thing that we can focus on. It's hard. You say, Donnie, how am I supposed to see anything outside of what I'm dealing with right here, right now? I can't think of anything else. That's when you trust God. That's when you trust the Lord, that He knows best and has a bigger view of life than what you're dealing with right then and there. Number two, actively look for the positive. Look for the things that you can gain from this experience, the past or what you're dealing with. You see, many times it's not your position, but your perspective that makes the difference. You see, James doesn't tell us that the trial is going to be a joy. Rather, he urges us to be filled with joy in spite of the trials. Listen, be filled with joy before the trial comes. It'll make that trial totally different. Look at the circumstances as a possibility of bringing something good. I didn't say it was easy. You know, it's been said, we're all faced with a series of great opportunities. They're just disguised as unsolvable problems. Number three, use your suffering to comfort others. Yeah, you heard me correct. I said that. Use your suffering, your trials, your tribulations, your troubles, use that to comfort others. Because of what you go through, you're going to be better qualified to help someone who has a similar problem. Stop. Think about it for a second. Think back to that trial that you were thinking about earlier, that trouble. Whatever it is that you was going through, that we all had in our minds, that we were going through. Think about it. Use what you have learned through your trials to be a blessing to others. You know better than anyone else what the other person's going through. You know how to help. Remember back when you were going through that trial, when you're going through that tribulation, and how you wished that someone would have been there and had comforted you. Now you be the comforter that you needed. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:4, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. Amen. Use your trials, use your troubles, use your sufferings, current or past, to bless somebody. We all are going to go through difficult times, but in the end, it becomes a matter of what you do with your troubles that makes a difference. As we come to a close, remember, Jesus told us, in this world, we will have trouble. I told you that earlier on in the message. Now, if you did nothing but just focus on that alone, it would lead to depression. But He didn't stop there. Now, Jesus went on. He said, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In Him you can have peace. He says, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Listen to me. God is bigger than whatever it is you're going through. God is bigger than the trial that you're dealing with. God is bigger than that trouble. God is bigger than that suffering. And He wants you to reach out to Him. Use your trials, tribulation, use your suffering to grow. Grow closer to God. And then use that as a testimony to the world. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I don't always understand, I don't always know why you lay things on my heart, but I'm glad you do. Thank you for this message. Don't know where it's coming from or how it can help. I'm hoping someone out there hearing this is, maybe it's exactly what they need. And if it is, then it was from you. And I thank you for it. Lord, I ask you to be with everybody as they go throughout their week and deal with these, the restrictions. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I know this message is a hard pill to swallow. As I said in the prayer, I'm not even sure why the Lord laid it on my heart, but if the Lord laid it on my heart, I'm guessing He wants someone to hear it. Maybe it's you. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next week. Cut.